Good morning once again.
Good morning.
I decided to bring back a study that I did a couple of years ago. One thing I'm learning is it's good to go back over some of the lessons that we have learned, and especially the ones that are like, for me, when I say Unity 101, I don't mean anything in specific, but what I'm talking about is basic unity principles, basic unity stuff that we need to get in our hearts and in our minds. This is how we thrive and how we move forward and how we grow. So this morning, I'm going to be talking on the book, The Four Agreements. Anybody heard of that book? Anybody have that book? It's a good book. You can follow along with me a little bit in your own reading time to kind of get into it. But the author, he reveals in the book some self-limiting beliefs that rob us of the joy and the stuff in our hearts that we want to rise up and to take over. The Four Agreements offers a powerful code of conduct that can rapidly transform your life. I use the principles now all the time. Now, of course, you got to slip and slide a little bit, but the thing is, you're on the path. You're on the path to creating your best life ever. And so we're starting out today. I like this by Romans 12 and 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect at the will of God." And that's what we want, don't we? The will of God for us is what? It's all good. It's not to strike us down with some illness or whatever. God's will for all his peoples is good. Charles Fillmore talks on truth. That's another excellent book, but Charles Fillmore might be a little challenging reading, but man, does he have some good points in that talks on truth. And he wrote, "To produce works, there must be a working power. This is exactly what the word is, the working power of God." So our word is like a two-edged sword. It can create an environment of beauty, or it can destroy and tear down. It can free us, or it can enslave us. We express ourselves and communicate through what? Our word. Through the voice, through the power that's in our word. Wouldn't you rather have yours directed towards truth, love, peace, oneness? I know I would. This chapter that I'm talking about today is be impeccable with your word. Be impeccable with your word. This is the first and most important of all the agreements presented here, and probably the most difficult of the four to maintain. You know, sometimes we just blurt stuff out, don't we, without thinking about what we're talking or what we're saying. So, It's buying, so we are going to agree here as a group to do the best to be impeccable with our word. And to agree is saying yes. So are you saying yes? We're all going to try this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Even in our daily routine, that's where it gets a little challenging. When you're out among your peers and your head wants you to blurt out stuff that your heart knows you shouldn't. Yeah. So what do we mean when we say impeccable? Well, to break down the word, it's really a mind blower to me. To break it down, impeccable comes from the Latin word peccatus. See, I practiced this and then it won't come out. P-E-C-A-T-U-S, peccatus. Is that close?
I think that's
close. Okay. All right, good, close enough. What that word means is sin. And that was a surprise to me to see that it said it meant sin. What's sin for us?
Missing the mark.
It's simply not following along with the mind of the Christ. Okay? And so, impeccable, means without. So when you put them together, we have what? Without sin. And it's simply without us going forth and missing the mark. Us cleansing our minds and our hearts to walk this way that we want to walk. Words are important because they make an impression on the conscious mind and the subconscious. Sometimes we take things in and we bury them deep into the subconscious. And then we manifest something we don't intend to manifest, and you ever wonder, where'd that come from? Okay. The subconscious mind is where we store memories, experiences, impressions, words that other people say to us. Or we can take them in, touch them with truth, and release them. So there are times when I pause and in an instant think of my response. What is going to be said here right now from me that's going to heal? Or is what I'm about to say going to harm? You know, we can bruise a soul. We can bruise another person's soul by the words that we say. So, there's a story, and I like this story, and I was going to use a different story from the book, but I said, no, I like this story because this gets right to the point. And in the book, there was a young girl who just loved to sing. She had a very good voice. The mother loved her daughter very much, but this day, she had had a bad day at work. We know what that can look like, huh? She had had a bad day at work, and she had a headache, and she came home, and all she wanted was a little peace. And her daughter was in her own little world, unaware of her mother's move, and was joyful and singing at the top of her lungs. Probably like I do in the car when I'm trying to get myself booted up out of a little gloomy attitude. Anybody do that? You can sing yourself out of a bad mood. Yes, indeed. And so she was singing and singing at the top of her lungs, and her mother went into the other room and said, "Shut up, you have an ugly voice. Can you just shut up?" Has anybody had that experience? Has anyone ever dished that out to you? Or have you dished that out to another without free unity, hopefully? You know, we are the watchdogs for what goes out of our mouths. I like, there's a scripture that talks about, it's not so much cleansing on the outside, but what is proceeding from your tongue. Are there words that are going to help someone? Or are there words that I tell myself sometimes, "Shut up, Vernetta. Don't say that. Don't say that." Do some heart cleansing. And that can be just an instant. Doesn't take long to turn yourself around and place your feet on solid ground. Well, the little girl never sang again because she took the words in and stored them in her belief system. And every time the thought to sing came up, she thought to herself, "Oh, my voice is ugly, I can't sing." You know, this story, to me, I can think of a lot of examples of growing up, of things said. And these are young souls. These are young souls. Be the observer in your life. Watch what you're saying to another. Watch what you're saying to even the least thing. You know, we love criticism. We love to dish out criticism, don't we? I'm just putting quotation marks because I'm hoping I'm not doing that too much. But watch what you're telling other people. Build them up with your words instead of tearing them down. Jobs are the most challenging, aren't they? Yeah. Things come up on jobs, momentary anger. But when you learn the principles that we learned, you do what? Breathe. Take that second. Sometimes I even tell people, "Well, you know, hold up a minute. Let me back off of this and let me just think about this a few minutes and I'll get back to you." Because when that momentary anger rises, oh, that's harmful, those words that may come out right in that moment, huh? Mm-hmm. And it's good to take a step back and think about what you're saying. As a supervisor, I did it all the time. And people would say, "Well, she's not going to tell you an answer right now. So you might as well send her an email." And I'm sitting there hearing this from the background. They're going, "Yep." Words can bring our dreams into expression. They can enrich, they can expand our lives, or they also have the double-edged sword to them. They can tear down. What do you tell yourself first thing in the morning when you wake up?
"Morning, God."
Hey, perfect, perfect, perfect. You know, I look in the mirror and I say, "Wow, you are a beautiful child of God." Now, if you saw me in the morning. But that's how I look through the appearance of what I'm looking at in the mirror, down into the heart. And I know that it's there. I know the beauty is there. I know the love is there. I know the peace is there. And I take that deep breath and I bring it all in, into the storehouse. The storehouse is what? All this. Bring it into the storehouse so that when you step forward, you're ready to meet the day. You ever meet the day and you haven't prepared? Oh my. It's better to prepare. You know, we learn to grab our daily words in the morning. That's excellent source. I'm beginning to turn to, you know, we're in an age where we have these big fancy TVs, right? And I turn to YouTube and I bring up meditation music. I might go through a couple. This one heals the heart, and this one. But I listen to a few and I settle on one that resonates with my soul that day and lifts me up, gets me prepared so that when I come out to face the world, there's no challenge that God and I, that God in me, cannot get me through. No matter what the appearance, no matter what it looks like. So, I want you to say yes to going forth and practicing this first agreement, being impeccable with your word. If you have the book, read that chapter, because there's a lot packed into it that we'd be here a couple of hours if I tried to give it to you in a Sunday lesson. But know that you have in you that which can go forth and lift up our universe in peace and in love. Look through the appearance of what you're seeing on television and what you're hearing on the news. Talk out loud so that the words will go out into the ethers and gather up the energy to bring it to pass. Whatever you do, do it from the heart. Do it from knowing that you are a child of the Most High. That you can be impeccable with your words by speaking words of truth and speaking words of love. And where do those words come from? Well, I'm going to invite you right now to turn within, but first we're going to affirm the prayer given to us by Jesus Christ, the Lord's Prayer. Let's affirm it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and relax. We're going to bring the music down just a little. And breathing in and breathing out. As Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our unity, I want you to think on these words. in the presence of pure being. I am now in the presence of pure being. Immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom, I acknowledge the one presence and the one power O blessed Spirit, in thy divine wisdom, now erase my mortal limitations. And from thy pure substance of love, bring into manifestation my world according to thy perfect law. And so we breathe in those words, knowing that they're a guide, a pathway that is lit by those who have gone before us, showing us the way to let our lights shine. So we let our hearts and our minds rest in this moment. Rest and be filled with the substance of the Spirit within. Whatever the need this morning, we lay it aside and just know in the right time and the perfect working order, it will be resolved. Yes, now I take a moment and I rest in the presence of pure being in the quiet. Dear God, as I prepare to return to the presence of this room, I proclaim from the depths of my heart that the words of my heart and the meditations of my mind be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock, my Jehovah. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful this morning that you are moving in and throughout us always, reminding us that we are never alone, reminding us that we are more than a body, reminding us first and foremost, we are spiritual beings, all blessed and highly favored. And so we use our words wisely. And we go forth and create a world that works for all. And through the presence and the power of you moving in and throughout us, binding us together, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And it is so, and so it is. And so we let it be in this moment, right here, right now. Amen.